Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Nancy C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and your moderator today. Today is Tuesday, February 18th, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 79, the third paragraph. And today's readers are, on the text is Lynn S., reading page 164 is Nancy P., and Jane S. is our backup. And our newcomer greeter is Ann A., and the host for the second hour is Leah S. Couple of reference numbers from yesterday. Yesterday's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,172. That's 22,172. And for the 10 a.m. meeting, that's 22,173 or 22,173. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Michelle J. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, family. Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admit, one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Michelle J. And now I've asked Kathy C. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, good morning, family. It's Kathy C. from New York. Here are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Kathy C. from New York. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 79, the third paragraph, starting with "We thought he ought to be willing" through that one paragraph only. And Lynn S. is going to kick us off. Lynn.
Good morning, Vision. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary. But if he were in jail, he could provide nothing for either family. We suggested he write his first wife, admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. He did, and also sent a small amount of money. He told her what he would try to do in the future. He said he was perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. Of course, she did not, and the whole situation has long since been adjusted. You know, that last line really spoke to me this morning. The whole situation has long since been adjusted. And I'm thinking over my time in program, you know, 35 years so far, and all the whole situations that have long been adjusted because of the spiritual principles of the program. And, you know, the first line sort of talking about these grand gestures are just thinking about me and how I approach life, you know, put the Superman or Superwoman cape on and grand gestures and look at me and look at what I'm doing. And that doesn't work. And the whole black and white way I lived life doesn't work. But this is really speaking to me, and what a wonderful way to live my life, not just in the amends part, but in being willing to do what's necessary, in talking it over with others and getting some feedback, not just me deciding on my own course and running off and doing it. To look at my faults and admit them. And then also to take immediate action. And, you know, I'm going to wait till I can pay the whole thing off, or I'm going to go in and, you know, put that money down, or I'm going to do this whole thing and I'm going to change my whole life. Well, Lynn, no, you're not. But it's that small everyday action that I take, just like paying the small amount of money. And then also saying with integrity, what I'm intending to do in the future. It's just, it's an incredible way of living life. And, you know, the scary part, and I'm thinking of one amends that I made that was particularly difficult, is facing that big fear. He was being threatened with going to jail. Well, I never had that, but I certainly had the fear of facing my biggest however you say that word, and facing her at my dad's funeral, but doing it anyway. It's just an amazing way to live life. And that whole situation, by the way, has long since been adjusted. This is an incredible program, a gift from God on how to live my life. And I'm so grateful when we get out like this. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Lynn S., for getting us started. Really appreciate that. So I'm now going to open up the lines for you to remember that we're a big group. So if you have shared on Monday or Friday of last week or Monday of this week, please step back and let other people share so that we can hear from everyone. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Mark Z.
Larry K.
Larry K.
Alexa F.
Alexa F. Tony B. And there was somebody before Tony.
Mark Z.
Mark, I got you. I've got Mark, Larry, Alexis, and Tony. Who else wants to join in?
Margaret D., Georgia.
Margaret D. Can still take a couple more names. All right, well, let's start with this lineup. We've got Mark Z., Larry K., Alexis F., Tony B., and Margaret D. And when you step up, if you could give us the state where you're calling from, that would be great. And if you're not Mark Z., please press star 1. And Mark, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, OA. I am Mark Z. from Minnesota, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and love bomber, and about 400 other addictions things I could. Good gracious, boy, do I need recovery! And yeah, you know, he did also send a small amount of money. You know, little by slowly. I think our recovery happens like a faucet. It's just one drip. And but I tell you what, I'm looking back a year ago, and I am a completely, totally different person. I am so thankful for what I've heard in this meeting. A few paragraphs back, I think we talked, the big book was talking about asking for strength. And that's starting to become an automatic thought. You know, we have these different thoughts that pop up like compulsively, automatically. And I used to think compulsively, I'm such an idiot. Life is so hard. But nowadays, my predominant compulsive thought is, God, give me strength to do the next right thing. And I have this positive expectation that God will show up with the most beautiful, loving things for me to step into. And it feels like love when I step into those things. So that's my share for the morning. I am excited to hear all of your shares. God bless you all.
Perfect timing, Mark. Thank you very much. That was Mark Z. from Minnesota. And next up, we have Larry K. Larry, where are you calling from?
Hey, Nancy. Good morning, Larry K. Let's see. I'm on 90 and had to heading towards O'Hare. No, I'm in Chicago. Thanks so much. I really appreciated Lynn's share. I'm going to stick with that theme. I get to see Lynn and our gang out in Toronto this weekend, which would be pretty cool, but I'm digressing. So let me speak about this here. You know, this is, the theme for me in this paragraph and so many others in this book is about stepping into the discomfort. A lot of the implementation of the steps, this one in particular, is about an experiential way of stepping into the discomfort, which us addicts, we don't want to do, because the thing is knowledge that we get by description, you know, what we learn from the book, it's great in and of itself, but it pales in comparison to knowledge by acquisition. In other words, knowledge that's acquired from direct experience. You know, go out and make this amend. That's what this whole spiritual program of action is all about, really, for me. It's something we experience by doing. You know, you want to learn how to make amends? Sure, we need some guidance. We need a Sherpa, but go make the amend. Go do it imperfectly as the rest of us do it. You want to learn how to put the food down before embarking on the steps? Okay, here's a novel idea. Put the food down and step into the discomfort, just like the amends process, just like so many things here. Then you'll know. It's when we step into this discomfort, right? And it's only then that we get clear about what needs to be done. It's only then that we learn of the vulnerability that's necessary to navigate through these steps. Right? Then we, you know, when I tried to zigzag, you know, when I tried to hide out, avoid, sponsor myself, procrastinate, rationalize, blame, lie, all that stuff, it's only then that I become aware of that huge energy drain, that energy suck, right, that I'm engaged in. There's no space for God in that spiritual vacuum. But I'm in a, you know, then I'm in a spiritual swamp. I want to get out of the spiritual swamp by taking action after action after action. And we're going to do it. It's okay. Do it imperfectly. You'll learn. You'll grow. You have the steps for a lifetime. You'll learn how to make amends better. You'll get guidance. And then the beautiful thing is you'll be able to guide other people through your experience. How extraordinary is that? So with that, I will pass. Thanks, Nancy. Take care.
Hey, thank you, Larry. Appreciate you. That was Larry K. from Illinois. And next up, we have Alexis F. Alexis, where are you calling from? And it's your turn.
This is Alexis F., and I'm calling from New Jersey. This process of amends, when I did it, I had two husbands who had passed away. And I wrote a love letter to each one of them. Missing the way you made me laugh, I think of the character that you were. And I made amends for my screaming, and I made amends for my saying things in front of other people that were nasty to him and embarrassed him and shamed him. And I made amends to my second husband. I told my first husband that I was alive and well, and thank you for the instrument of kindness that you are in my life. And I told him about, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater and that I have many addictions. I'm multi-addicted. And that if I didn't make this amends for everything that I did to him, and, you know, that I would never get better. It was part of my ingredients to put the icing on the cake, so to speak. With my second amends to my second husband, let me see. I said, you know, that I expected too much of people, and I expected too much of you, because, you know, I always wanted the best, and you always gave it to me. And I'm sorry about some of the sexual things that I did that hurt you. And, you know, I in between lacing it with things that I loved about them and memories that we had together. And I just wrote on the top of it my love letters to two men and or two husbands, you might say. And it was, I have a sensitivity to...
gentle reminder.
Thank you. Thanks for your talk.
Thank you, Alexis F. from New Jersey. And next we have up Tony B. from Scotland. Tony, you have the floor.
Nancy, yes, my name's Tony B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. Yeah, it's great to be here with you all this morning. I find this a very moving paragraph. I think it's the humility in it and the fact that God made this possible for him. You know, someone who was resentful, who'd been wanting revenge, you know, perhaps due to that resentment, didn't want to pay alimony, was clearly in quite a negative space, you know. And I think it's impressive heroics, this change, this release of the resentment, and that he's admitting his faults, wow, and asking forgiveness. The humility involved in that is touching. It is, I find it just as a sort of experience to read, very, very moving. The previous paragraph, we had furious. She was furious. There was resentment. She'd had an order for his arrest. And now we've got him admitting faults. We've got the word forgiveness. And it's very humble of him to say to her, I can't pay it all now. You know, I can only pay a small amount. There's no big shot in there, you know. He's willing to say, I haven't got the money. And I'm willing to go to jail if you want me to. No humility in that. This alcoholic, probably quite a proud man. You get the sense maybe from the previous paragraph. Softening. The redemption here, God enabling this through the process that he's been through in the steps so far. I've had similar experiences, and I think we all have. Thank you for letting me share. I'll share the time I pass.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. And next up, we have Margaret D. from Georgia, and then we'll take another list of names. Margaret, you have the floor.
Oh, my gosh. This is Margaret D. in Georgia. I was so enthralled with listening to the shares that I was surprised when my name was called. This paragraph, as with most of the paragraphs in the big book, they just kind of leaving me with my socks rolling up and down by themselves. What I'm learning in retrospect, because as Larry said earlier, you do actually have to go through the experience to gain the awareness of what it's like when you go through that experience. But the blessing, and I'm just realizing this, or another realization, I guess I could say, is about how I've been changed by working the steps, and especially this one about growing up, having to admit and address the screw up, no matter what the outcome is, and then screwing up again and having to go, uh-oh, did it again and have to make another amends. There's so much healing in that. As I was listening, and I apologize, this is kind of rambling, but I look at my own recovery and I realize how far I have come, because I'm no longer replacing one addiction with another addiction. Back before I got into recovery, that's what I did. I couldn't, at times when I couldn't compulsively eat, I picked it up with cigarettes. And when cigarettes became no longer an option, then, you know, I picked it up by getting into relationships. And when that didn't work, when that ceased to work, and that's the thing about a lot of addictive processes, they do work in the beginning. They really do. That's, I think, partially what helps us to have the gumption to stick with the addiction, is that it did something for me in the beginning. But now, fast forwarding 35 years or whatever, I turn to God as the answer when there's questions, or when I'm in pain or in the discomfort or whatever. I turn to my higher power, and I do
Gentle
it through
reminder.
All. And Nancy, thank you so much, because I think I'm done. Take care. And I pass.
Thank you, Margaret D. Perfect timing. Okay, before I take another list of names, let me remind you guys, we have a big event coming up in 262 days, the Power of the Big Book Weekend. Our Visionary Weekend is happening, and it's happening in Newark, New Jersey. Registration is now open, and if you go to the Vision for You website, www.avision4you.info, it'll show you the countdown clock, and underneath there's a little button that says more info. That's where you can get all the details on the conference to register, also make a hotel reservation, and please do that sooner rather than later. We do have two hotels, but they are filling up quickly. But all important information is on there, and it's a great opportunity to meet each of us face to face. So please take time to register, and look forward to seeing you in November. It's November 7th through 9th, so it's only 262 days away. So let's get back to taking another list of names for people who want to share on this topic. And I remind you that if you have shared in the last 2 days, so that would be Monday or Friday of last week, please step back and let others have the opportunity to share. So who would like to share?
Carolyn S.H. Carolyn S.H.
Carolyn S.H.
Aaron
K.
Susan,
right, Aaron A. Diane N.
Roy C.
Susan from Georgia.
Susan. And I heard a male voice. I didn't catch the name.
Roy C.
Anybody else? I've got Carolyn S.H., Aaron K., Diane N., Susan, I don't know your last initial, and
Susie
Roy
from
C.
Georgia.
Who else?
Jessica R.
Susie from Georgia. Okay, Jessica R.
Marion H.
Marion H. All right, last call for this set. All right, let's call it with, I've got Carolyn, Aaron, Diane, Susan, Roy, Jessica, and Marion. If you are not Carolyn, please press star 1 to mute yourself. Carolyn, you have the floor, followed by Aaron K.
Thank you. Hi, can I be heard?
You can.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you so much, Carolyn S.H. in Massachusetts. I'm gratefully recovered. I've made many an amends, and what's striking me in these in this paragraph, and also considering the paragraph before, thinking of the identifying with the alcoholic here, that he withheld something. He acted in a way that he was supposed to legally be responsible for, and it said out of resentment, and because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. And that's most of the things I did out of resentment and eating. And then once through the steps, once in recovery, wanting to make things right, the willingness, the paragraph we're in, what's striking me is how it's described at the end of the paragraph. It's described that the whole situation has long since been adjusted. And throughout this paragraph, I mean, this whole chapter, the reason that I do amends is not so I can adjust the situation or any situation. It's so I can get right with my the God of my understanding, so that I can right the wrongs that I've done. And then situations get adjusted. It's the whatever it's called, the passive voice. I'm not doing it. It gets done. There's also the theme of, for me, the theme of fear or lack thereof, that he just is willing to do whatever it takes. And even if it means he goes to jail. And for me, that's really about trusting. And some of my amends took some, not that level of trust, but a fair amount of trust, just that the situation would be adjusted. I just got to do what I know is right. And my time's almost up. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Hey, Carolyn S.H. from Massachusetts. Thank you. And next, we have Aaron K. from Michigan. Aaron, press star one and you have the floor.
Good morning, Nancy. Aaron K., recovered compulsive overeater in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The second half of this paragraph, the last two sentences really stuck out. When he said he told her what he would try to do in the future. And it occurred to me that, you know, some amends I've been kind of afraid to make, and I think part of it is because they come with a commitment, you know, especially to the people close to us in our lives, you know, family, friends, spouses. It's a commitment, you know, that we're going to not do these same things in the future, that we are going to try to live up to this God or higher power given ideal for who we, you know, who God would have us be in, you know, in this relationship. You know, for me, my ideals as a wife or as a daughter. So it, you know, kind of intimates that it comes with a commitment to do different. We can't just say we're sorry and keep doing the same things. I mean, luckily we don't, you know, all that's required of us is the try. It's the perfect willingness. It's the true desire to be different. I think for me, God gives me the power to do differently. And I also like, you know, where it says he was perfectly willing. I thought about that phrase, and I think what that is saying, I mean, to me, that means faith, perfectly willing to go to jail. It doesn't say not terrified. I'm sure he was scared. But faith, you know, in the moments that it's required of us is really uncomfortable. It requires us a lot of times to be uncomfortable and to do things very afraid. And then it says, you know, the whole situation has long since been adjusted. And so it's like the rewards of faith are beautiful and lovely, but only seen in retrospect. And I really appreciate, you know, some of the shares I've heard, and that nothing replaces the experience of going through this process and having this experience, so that, you know, for me, it helped me really grow in my faith. this faith and this power that, you know, I don't understand, but I experience it. And one of the ways I really did experience the rewards of faith was by making big amends and seeing relationships change and heal. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Nancy.
Hey, thank you, Aaron Kay. Next up, we have Diane N. from Georgia. Diane, please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you guys for your service today. I'm Diane. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater, recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I am so grateful for this this portion of the reading and for the shares, because I've heard so many things that God has been HP has been laying on me or reminding me of, you know, such as, yeah, maybe you do things that keeps coming to my mind, letting me know that these are things I need to make amends for. So I am grateful for that, because some of the very things that's being said, those are things that I know I need to work on as well and make amends for them. And but I would also like to mention something else that kind of came to my mind. I would like to mention reparations. And I just wanted to say that there are some words in this chapter, it's as if I've never noticed them before. Then one of those is reparations. I didn't even know it was in the book. And I never knew that the word, and that's why I think it's important to study the big book rather than just reading it, because so many words keep appearing and so many things keep showing up suddenly. Anyway, for reparations, the making of amends for a wrong done by paying money to or otherwise helping those who have been wronged. And this, when I read this, I heard it made me feel some kind of way. And it really resonated with me. First of all, because I'm a descendant of slaves. My ancestors were slaves for about 400 years. They were victims. They were harmed. Amends were never made. Amends were promised. But reparations was promised, but they were never paid. The U.S. paid reparations to a lot of other people, you know, survivors, we never received reparations. Like I said, they promised them, and for over 400 years, they made money off of my ancestors, off of the backs of our ancestors, but they never paid us reparations. And so I just wanted to say that because it affects me. It affects my program. And I, you know, I'm glad I have a place, a safe place, a sanctuary place I can come and say, hey, look, reparations were never paid to my ancestors. So, we were victims. So anyway, I'm grateful to be able to say that. I'm grateful today that I don't have to eat over it, but I can acknowledge it. I can say I'm a victim and it hurt me. But today I can't stay in that place because I want to be well. So I'm so grateful that I have a place, like I said, I can come. This is a safe place. This is a sanctuary for me, and I can say what affects my program. So thanks for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
I'm the second, Diane N. from Georgia. Thank you for sharing. And next up, we have Susan P., followed by Rory C. Susan, where are you calling from? Susan P., press star one.
Yes, can I be heard?
You can.
Yes, this is Susan P. from Georgia. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on this meeting live. Usually I don't have the opportunity. This is more of like a question, and it's really an issue that I just don't know how to resolve, and it has to do with making amends. One of the previous speakers mentioned making amends to people who've been deceased. I've been through the steps several times. I don't have any major amends to make. My life is clean for the most part. But as far as amends to like my parents and my late husband, the purpose of the amends is not to get forgiveness. It's just to clean our side of the street. But I just am really having a hard time with coming to terms with the mistakes that I made in those relationships. And I have a lot of remorse. And I know it says on page 86 of the big book, you know, we don't sink into worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. And we ask for God's forgiveness. But in my religion, God can forgive us for sins we committed against him, but sins we committed against other people, we have to get forgiveness from them, and it's not possible anymore. And I mean, the major one is like, I wasn't in recovery when those people were alive. And, you know, I did, you know, I had rage attacks, things like that. And I've written letters to them, and I'm hoping that, you know, my life today living in recovery is a living amends, but I still cannot forgive myself. And I need that forgiveness. And so anyway, I'm on the members list. If anyone has any insight about self-forgiveness and dealing with issues related to people who are deceased, I'd appreciate hearing from you. Susan P. from Georgia, thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan G. And I'll remind you at the end of the second hour, people give their names for sponsoring. They're
it's
all
Susan
recovered
P.
into
Georgia. P. like in Peter.
Okay, Susan P. If you take those names at the end, they'll be of great help to you. And if you heard somebody on the line today, look them up on the membership line and or membership list and call them as well. And next up, we have Roy C., followed by Jessica R. Roy, please tell us where you're calling from.
This is Roy C., and I'm from southern New Jersey, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And one of the beauties of the this and other 12-step programs is that you realize when your behavior requires an amends. Oftentimes, when we're in the throes of compulsive overeating or another addiction, we're not aware of what we're doing, that we don't know that we've harmed other people. There was an incident that I had early on in my life where I had a job and I came to realize later on that I'd harmed the people that I had worked with, and I was no longer in contact with them. It'd been many years from that time, and I sat down with my sponsor and asked and told him about this, and I said, should I try to get in touch with these people? Should I, you know, make some kind of a public admission of this? Of this wrongdoing to make my amends? And his answer to me was very thoughtful, and he said, "No, that's not something that I could possibly do, and that my best action was to say a prayer for those people in hopes that they'd done well in their lives and things had gone better, and that I was." I was truly repentant for behavior that I had done, and it was left at that. And I said those prayers, and I felt much better about it. So that was one way that I was able to do an amends to somebody that I wasn't able to be in touch with anymore, and I had harmed in the past. And I thank you all for letting me share.
Hello, this is Jessica calling from Maryland. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh,
go for it,
that's
Jessica.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay. The way I've terrorized my family is usually through my yelling and screaming. And I was making an amends to my oldest daughter once, and she said to me, I'm really appreciative that you apologize, but I'd really like you to just stop doing it in the first place. And I think it's okay to, you know, pay a little bit, and in my case, try harder. But I think the change is, and the stopping of the behavior is what's most important. And that's what I ask for God literally every moment of the day. And I have progress, not perfection. I've noticed that what I'm doing now, when I start my yelling and I'm in my rage with my daughters, my oldest daughter in particular, I don't need to win. I just stop. I just stop the yelling. Like, just stop. Like, when I see that, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. The yelling is not getting me any further in the situation that I'm in with her. And the pausing really helps. And so I think that that's what I wanted to share today. I'll also add that I'm going through the 12 steps with a new sponsor right now. And, it's just remarkable to me how much clearer it is every time you go through these steps, because I'm seeing that, before I wouldn't even really recognize that I was in the middle of screaming at her, and now I'm at least recognizing it. And, and I'm saying, God, please help me in that moment. And that's really wonderful. And that's all I had to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica R. from Maryland. And next up, we have Marion H., and then we'll have time for maybe one or two more shares. Marion, please share with us and tell us where you're calling from.
Yeah, hi, this is Marion H. Can I be heard?
You can.
Okay, thank you so much. So I'm Marion H. from South Florida, and I'm very nervous still. I am a compulsive eater and in recovery one day at a time. I have been in vision from the beginning, and I need to say that I am ashamed to say that I never went and I am in OA since 1974, so that is 51 years. But I never left, was dieting, working with lots of sponsors. Once again, I'm working with a vision sponsor, and I'm praying to God that I will recover this time. God is now more and more in my life. Day to day, I know that I will die earlier because of my disease. And with God's help, I do not eat anything with sugar and flour. And appreciate very much everyone's share, and everybody was doing service. And thank you very much. And God bless you. Have a beautiful, excellent day, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marion H. from Florida. And we do have time for one or two, maybe even three shares. So who would like to jump on that list?
Joanne P.
Lisa B.
Amy M.
All right, Joanne.
Sonia S.
I heard Joanne and Lisa. And one more.
Amy M. C. from Massachusetts.
Amy M. C. All right, we've got Joanne, Lisa, and Amy. If we have time for you, Joanne, please give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for your service and for this beautiful fellowship and meeting today. I'm Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. This paragraph really speaks to me because I recently lost my husband and am faced with dealing with our finances myself. It has put me in a place of humility to do my best. And this program has taught me to be willing to go to any lengths to make things right. So I am facing the truth about who I really am and how I have been irresponsible financially, and realizing that, yeah, I was always blaming my husband for being irresponsible financially, but you know what? I have a part in this too, and by the grace of God and the working these steps and the fellowship of this program, I've come to realize my place in just being humble and knowing that I have to be willing to go to any lengths to make things right. And that's where I am right now. And I'm so grateful. With that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Joanne P. from Pennsylvania, and we're sorry for your loss. Next up, we have Lisa. Lisa B.
Lisa B.
Please share with
us, Lisa.
B.
This is Lisa B. from Michigan. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be.
All right, great. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I listen every day on the meeting, either live or recorded. And I was talking to my sponsor yesterday about the reading, and, you know, I keep wanting to share because I haven't shared in a while, but I really was not relating to what we were reading or others that were sharing because they had such dramatic amends to make, and I didn't have any of those. And when I first came into program, I struggled a lot because I heard people talk about the things that they had gone through during their addiction, and I didn't have those things. And I thought, well, I'm not that bad. I don't need to be here, et cetera, et cetera. But I was miserable enough to come, and thank God, you know, God made a way for me to be able to identify and stay eventually, but it's taken some time for sure. I didn't have those amends to make. I've had some amends to make, but they, like I say, they weren't as dramatic or anything like that. One specific amends that I had to make, a good friend of mine and I, we'd grown up together and I believe we both had the same addiction to food and things like that. But, anyway, I had amends to make to her, and we didn't live close anymore. And my sponsor said, write her a letter and then call me and read it to me, and we'll go from there. So I did that, and then she said, okay, I want you to sign it and mail it to her. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I signed it, and as soon as I signed it, I just bawled and bawled and bawled. And then I sent it off to her and was kind of on pins and needles because I didn't know how it would be accepted. But it didn't matter because I had done my part of this thing. And I got a lovely letter back from her stating that she thought that she had not been as good a friend as I had. And so it was just huge. It was wonderful. But if there's anybody else out there that's feeling like they're not bad enough yet, the thing that came to me was, okay, do you want to be bad enough? You know, do you want to be able to relate to these things? If I keep eating, I will get there and more. And I don't need to. I've gone far enough to get here and far enough to stay. So,
gentle reminder.
Anybody else, you're not alone. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from Michigan. And taking us out today is Amy M. Amy, where are you calling from? And you have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Amy M.C. from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone, for such a beautiful meeting. It's so great to be live. I often listen as well. As someone else shared, this reading, so appropriate. What came up for me were 2 major things. One is living amends are the hardest for me because it's that behavior change, right, that somebody else was sharing about. And little by small, I'm seeing the behaviors change. I'm feeling them. And the biggest one that comes to mind is actually with my 11-year-old. And, you know, I say to her often, and that's my background noise, my 3-year-old is sitting on my lap and he has the flu. But, you know, I've said to her often in the past, you know, okay, I'm gonna work on that. And she was saying for the longest time, you always say that, Mom, but nothing changes. And that was such a crushing blow. But just like all the other changed behaviors that I was asking God to remove and to replace with the assets he's given me,
you know, little by small, it happened, and it happened without me noticing. I can't remember the last time she said that to me. Maybe it's been only a few days. Maybe it's been a week. Maybe it's been a month. I'm not sure. But I think that behavior is slowly but surely changing. And what it looks like, you know, with that living amends is more attention towards her, you know, maybe less attention to program in front of her, you know, and my son. Those small things to show her that
reminder.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm in recovery, but, you know, I'm here for you because I'm in recovery. And then just to close out, you know, those behaviors and impacting my life, you know, those changing those behaviors and having those living amends is what keeps me recovered one day at a time. I get to do 10 steps. I get to make those living amends and ask God to remove the behaviors. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy M.C. from Massachusetts. And you are our last share for today. And thank you to everyone who shared today and for Team Tuesday who rocked it and for everyone who does service on this meeting. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Tuesday, February 18th, is 22,175. That's 22175. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Nancy please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, good morning, Nancy. I can be heard, right? I'm in my car.
You can.
Okay, perfect. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. Recovered in actually in Carleton, Mass. On my way to Connecticut. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.